Views. I'm your host, Renee Kranz. Today on the show, we'll be talking about the EQIP program with Dr. Chris Bergwald and with Renee Leach, who went through the program. It's a wonderful opportunity to take a deep dive into our Catholic faith and grow closer to God. So first, though, we're going to talk to Dr. B about the scriptures today.
Double dose of Dr. B.
Again.
As I'll say.
We might lose listeners pretty soon.
I'm back. Listen, I promise I won't be on for weeks other than Biblical Bites with Dr. B.
Right.
You're going to make that
doses.
Happen?
Yes, we'll okay. make that happen. Yeah. All right. What do you got today?
Okay. So this week, I am very excited about the readings.
Ooh.
Because the gospel account is going to be a little bit familiar to us, especially if you've been going to Mass for more than a couple of years. It's Matthew 16, where Jesus, who do you say that I am? Some people visited, who do you say that I, but who, you, my apostles, my followers, who do you say that I am? Peter says, Simon at this point, Simon says that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says to him in reply, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. So this is one of the foundational passages for understanding the role of Peter in the church. Mm-hmm. As he's already been, he's the leader of the apostles. I mean, that's clear. Nobody denies the fact that Peter, prior to now and after this, is the leader of the apostles. He's always first, when you see the lists of the apostles, he's always listed first. He takes leadership in the very early church. So Peter is the leader of the church. And then his successor, he with Paul established the church in Rome, and Peter's successor, the Bishop of Rome, likewise becomes the leader of the church on earth.
Right.
Obviously Jesus is the head, but it's the Bishop of Rome, the successor of Peter, the Pope, that is, who is the earthly leader of the church. There's so many things, Renee, that I love about this passage, but the thing that I'm going to focus on is connecting it to the first reading at Mass, which is from Isaiah chapter 22, and it begins this way. Thus says the Lord to Shebna, master of the palace. So there's this dude named Shebna back in the day.
Dude.
He's the master of the palace. And this is what the Lord says to him. I will thrust you from your office. That doesn't sound good. And pull you down from your station. On that day, I will summon my servant Eliakim, son of Hilkiah. I will clothe him with your robe and gird him with your sash and give over to him your authority. Okay, so Shebna obviously did something wrong, right? Shebna's the master of the palace, and God is saying to him, not the king, God is saying to him, I am going to take Eliakim, and I'm going to give him your robe, your sash, give him your authority. So real quick, the master of the palace is this basically prime minister figure in the ancient Israel, the Jewish kingdom, mm-hmm. basically. So you had the king, like David and Solomon, and over time, their successors, the kings of Judah, would appoint basically a prime minister who was the master of the palace. So this is how Isaiah goes on. This is the Lord speaking. He shall be, this is speaking about Eliakim in the role, the next master of the palace. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. I will place the key of the house of David on Eliakim's shoulders. Where he opens, no one shall shut. When he shuts, no one shall open. I will fix him like a peg in a sure spot to be a place of honor for his family.
Mm-hmm.
Keys. Authority, somebody who's called father.
That sounds really familiar.
What do we call the Bishop of Rome? The Holy...
Holy Father.
Father.
Or Pope or Papa.
Right. Yeah. So what we see in centuries before Jesus, centuries before Simon Peter, we see that the king had a prime minister who ruled in his name. And if you look at the history of Israel, you see that the prime minister, basically what he said was treated just like as if the king said it. And he had the keys to the kingdom. So when Jesus gives this authority, this power, this responsibility, this office, so again, this is an office that was transferred, in this case, from Shebna to Eliakim, as it had been throughout the lineage of the kings. When Jesus does that to Peter, he's not inventing a role out of thin air. Mm-hmm. This is a role. Jesus is the king, and he appoints his prime minister, and it's a role that is transferred from one man to another throughout time. The Catholic Church did not invent the papacy. Mm-hmm. Jesus did, and in fact, he did it before he became Jesus on earth. So we see in there the ancient roots of the Bishop of Rome. That's what I have for you today.
I love that. Thanks, Dr. B.
You bet.
All right, on today's show, we are going to talk to you. I know it's Chris Bergwald again, but
double dose of Dr. B.
We've had him on a lot, but this is a really big, big thing we want to talk about. So we have Dr. Chris Bergwald on and Renee Leach, who is the other Renee in the building.
I am thing one.
And I'm thing two. So we will not refer to each other as that this time, I don't think.
I might.
It might be easier. All right. So we're going to talk about a program that the diocese does called Equip. And started this 3 years ago, right?
Yep.
Was the first one.
So, ish.
Yeah. Okay. So, Chris, you created this program. You lead the program. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah. So basically, Equip was created, to be honest, in response to desires from people like Renee Leach. I don't know which thing is thing one or two anymore.
She's
I forgot.
One. She okay. was here first.
So people like Renee. So Renee is somebody who is very faith-filled and interested in learning about her faith in a deeper way. So I created Equip for people like Renee, men and women in the diocese who are interested in a more robust formation process, but it's not aimed towards becoming other programs we've had in our diocese have in our diocese. I've done a master catechist program to train men and women to become highly competent teachers of the faith who can teach others how to teach the faith.
Or
for other sort of certification programs. Those are all good and valuable, but Equip is not one of those because Equip's purpose is simply to help someone like Renee Leach deepen her faith so she can shine and burn more brightly as a disciple of Jesus Christ in her daily life. And then therefore live out that call to missionary discipleship, which has come from Pope Francis and then more recently and repeatedly from our bishop, Bishop Donald DeGroote. So it's a program 3 years long where people grow certainly in their knowledge and understanding of the faith, but also through prayer and through their ability to just walk with others, accompany others in their own journey of faith in order to more effectively live, shine more, burn more brightly as a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Okay. So can you just give me just a real quick taste of what kind of things you'll learn?
So year one is sort of focused on the big picture of scripture and church history. So the overall arc of what's called salvation history, the story of salvation from before the creation of anything, God himself, the Trinity, the creation all the way through the Old Testament, the covenants, the figures like Noah. And Moses. I was going to combine and say Noses, I think.
Noses
and Moa. Renee learned a lot about Noses and Moa.
Is that going to be in the test later?
Education here.
To Jesus, through Jesus, the apostles, the church, and then church history. How God is continuing to form and work with and through his people up to our own time here in 2020. That's year one. Year two then is the church's reflection on that in the catechism, a deep dive in a read, cover to cover read of the catechism of the Catholic Church, but over the course of a whole year.
Okay.
And then year three is really about learning, okay, how do I have those water cooler conversations with people? Well, not like debate style, but like, if you, Renee Kranz, ask me, you know, why does the church do this? Mm-hmm. If you asked Renee, actually, she hopefully would be able to answer your question.
She makes the sign of the cross here.
Right? Praying in public is either part of, no. So that gives you does that answer your question?
It does, yeah. So how did the first this is the first group
yep.
that Renee has been a part of.
Yep.
How did that go? I know you're like just about to finish
yep.
up, right?
Yep. So I actually, and I had, so Renee was actually part of not only like, I had a smaller group of folks who started before 3 years ago. They required a lot of work. So poor Renee.
I've been at this for a really long time.
I'm glad you had all that time with her before I met her.
So see, ow. See, look. But this is out of control.
Yes.
Basically, what I've seen in Renee and others, in different ways, depending on where they are in their life, but it's borne fruit. I mean, they've told me that they've seen how it's impacted. Certainly what they know about their faith, but also their confidence in what they know and their confidence in sometimes talking about the faith, but just living it out.
Okay.
And again, walking with other people who they encounter in their daily lives. So I'm very excited about to see what God is going to do with the folks who are about to finish up this first cohort, like Renee, and what he does with them. Also, therefore, very excited to see what he'll do with the new cohort and who comes into that.
And the next group, there will be a little bit of changes.
Yeah, right? A little bit. Just we learned from things before. We're going to do, you know, the technology that we have now, frankly, the ability to Zoom, which we didn't have the way we do now 3 years ago, even when Renee's cohort started. So be doing more group online conversations. But part of this is always about coming together. So I don't want to get too into the weeds with the details of the program. You can go to sfcatholic.org/equip to find out the details. But one of my favorite things about the program is every quarter, every 3 months over the 3 years, we all come together here at the cathedral, at the diocesan offices. We have mass at the cathedral. We have time together, time for prayer, discussion, teaching, and we end the day with evening prayer, and we're done at 5:00. So just a beautiful day. We're keeping that and some other things, but adding in some things like regular Zoom calls with the group.
Okay. So we know it goes 3 years.
Yep.
What kind of time commitment can people expect?
It's about 20 hours a week,
okay,
more or less. Yeah.
So it is a rather intensive program.
You
did you say 20 hours? I just keep going, and I'm like, wait, 20 hours?
It's one of those interviews.
That's a part-time job. Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Yeah. You failed,
I
Renee.
I didn't spend that much time.
You know, I asked Renee's cohort, you know, on average, how much time, and I got an hour a week up to 5 hours a week.
Okay.
So it really depends on the person, and they're
more than an hour a week.
Familiar? Okay. Well, not for everybody.
Okay.
It is. Most people say about 3 to 5 hours a week.
Okay.
So not quite an hour a day, but that's a commitment though. Three years. And I try to make that clear to people. If you're going into this, realize this is a commitment that you're entering into, that you're signing on for. It's only 3 years, but it is for 3 years.
Right. And I mean, honestly, this should be something we're doing our whole life. So,
amen. This is a bit more intense, right? I mean, that'd be to maintain that sort of a pace your entire life might be a little
tougher.
Might
be.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Renee.
Hello.
Hi. What made you decide to do this 3 years ago? I know it wasn't Bergwald.
Well, actually, it was Dr. B.
Okay.
I was blessed in the fact that Chris and I, prior to Equip, had read a couple of books together because he knew of my desire to grow in my faith. I come from, I'm an adult convert. And,
oh, okay. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, and I come from an environment that was less than friendly to the Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I converted, I had a lot of family members that had all of these questions about the church that I wasn't able to answer. And it frustrated me because I love the Catholic faith and feel like I've come home. And there are so many reasons why I converted, and I wasn't always able to express that well to family members. And so Chris and I started on this journey to help me do a little apologetics.
Right.
And then it just kind of, as we continued our conversations and the reading of different books. As he said, the Equip program kind of morphed into being. And then...
That's really cool that you guys kind of built that together in a way, not really knowing what was going to come of it.
Right. And look, I mean, Renee definitely wasn't the only one who expressed that desire.
Right.
But she was one of a handful of people who I'd gotten to know, who gotten to know me over the years and expressed a desire for that sort of a thing.
Right. Right. Okay. So if you just joined us, I'm talking to Dr. Chris Bergwald again. And
wow.
And the lovely Renee Leach. We are talking about the EQUIP program. So Renee, for you, what was the best part of this last 3 years with the program?
The best part, for me, it was meeting a group of people that had the same desire to grow in their faith that I did,
mm-hmm.
That were willing to commit the time and the energy to pursue the information. Chris had set us up on an email listserv so that we could communicate with one another between our retreat meetings, which allowed us to ask each other questions about what we were reading and what we were doing and, mm-hmm. and our thoughts and our responses. And so some real friendships developed. And it was one of those situations where I kind of felt like I was in the desert
mm-hmm.
when I started on and didn't know a lot and was confused. And getting into the EQUIP program, I felt like Moses. And all of a sudden I had an Aaron or two or three that were there holding up my arms when things got frustrating or deep or, oh my gosh, I'm never going to be able to make it through this because this is so hard.
That's a great analogy.
There were others that were there encouraging me on and holding me up in prayer so that we could successfully complete the task at hand.
Yeah. How many were in the group?
16.
Oh, 16. Okay. 16. More than I thought. Yep. Okay. So do you think you'll remain friends after you're done and continue the conversation kind of about your faith?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Many friendships were formed and will definitely continue on in the future.
Awesome. So what was the most challenging besides maybe the work is, but is there something else that was really challenging about it?
One of the things that occurred that I wasn't expecting, anytime that you start seriously pursuing your faith and wanting to grow in your faith and seeing and asking God what he wants to do in your life, there is another force that is going to start working very hard against you.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of took me by surprise. Some spiritual warfare in the midst of it. And Dr. Bergwald had warned us about that was a possibility.
Oh, good, because that might be a little scary otherwise.
That it was happening. but I think if you're truly interested in growing in your faith, that can happen. But the gift of it is that through the course of the program, because of what you're learning and how you're growing in your faith, the Holy Spirit provides you with the tools and the people around you to combat that warfare.
Mm-hmm. So you were able to do that at least so far.
Yeah.
You're almost done. So not like he's going to leave you alone, right?
No.
No.
To be clear, we're not talking about like extraordinary things, just like, can you describe
not supernatural things or anything like that? But I think, the reality is that life happens
mm-hmm.
and life can be hard
mm-hmm.
and can be overwhelming. And when you add a serious study in the midst of it, because it does take a time commitment. It's not reading that you can do right before you go to bed and fall asleep. I mean, you have to be very purposeful about if you're wanting to retain the information.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And do something
with
it later.
You have to set aside the time, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's a sacrifice of time that comes with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if someone came to you in the next month and said, hey, do you think I should do this? What would you tell them?
Absolutely. Without hesitation. I realized through the course of learning that I am a beloved daughter mm-hmm. of God. And I've learned that he sees me, and I've learned that he is ever faithful, and he is a father that keeps his promises. And I've seen it over and over and over again throughout the study. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I would have been as aware of it if I hadn't have gone through the program.
Mm-hmm. So has your relationship with God changed, do you think?
Yes.
It's probably gotten deeper, but maybe this is too personal, but can you tell us any ways that it's changed? I mean, that you felt closer to God, or any specific examples?
Wow. I wasn't prepared for that
question. You should have read the questions beforehand. I should have read the questions beforehand. Renee.
Wow.
God has just shown up in really big ways that I can trust him. And that even when things look the darkest, he hears my prayers and he's answering them. I think Romans 8:28 says, God will work all things for the good of those who love him. And I have seen that in situations with kids that seemed where you despair and you are discouraged. And I have adult children, and you always, as a mom, you want a certain kind of life for them, and you worry about them when they have hardships and struggles. And I have seen that he works all things for the good.
Well, I think getting that trust, the trust we want to get with God, is actually way more difficult than we want it to be. Don't you think?
I think the way God teaches us to trust is to put us in a situation where we are required to trust.
Yeah.
And those situations are not comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But we are, unfortunately, we are his children, and the only way we learn is the hard way.
That's so true. It's totally the hard way.
Yeah. So, you know, I always tell people, don't pray for patience. You will not like the lesson.
Oh, I got to stop praying for that because I pray for that a lot.
Don't pray for patience.
What should I pray for instead?
Humility.
Okay.
No?
Okay, that might be worse.
Now I don't know what to do.
The strength to endure. That's what you should pray for.
That's probably a good way to do it.
There we go.
The strength to endure.
Yeah.
But then he'll put you in situations where you have to persevere.
And be patient.
Exactly.
I think it's just your...
God works all things for the good.
She said through gritted teeth.
Yeah. I want it tattooed on my forehead, on my arm.
So the program is not an easy program, but it's all worth it.
The program is a educational program.
Mm-hmm.
Me personally, I had to commit to reading at least 30 minutes a day to keep up with the reading. I'm a note taker. I had to take notes. I have volumes of notes that I took. There is a writing component in it where we were required to write a paper at the end of each quarter.
Short paper.
I was going to say, you're going to scare everybody off. Well, thing one.
You know what? My struggle is the topic was so broad.
Oh, sure.
That it was, and I was so excited about what I was reading and what I was learning that it was very hard for me to write it in
a focus.
1,000 words or less. I had a hard time doing that. Yeah. And I'm not chatty at all, you know, so.
Well, be so, chattier, I guess.
So there was, you know, there was a writing component, and it's a commitment, but it's for those that are ready to take maybe their faith to the next step.
Right, right. If you're kind of lukewarm, it might not be time for you yet.
Right.
Like you might need to be a little more.
That's why it's for those who are looking, as Renee said, for that next step to go deeper. And just to be clear, there is a writing component, but that's just to help make it, I try to make it stick. There's no tests. There's no, even though Renee wanted me to grade her papers sometimes, and some of the times she didn't. It's not about, did you get it right or wrong? It's about understanding and applying it to my life.
Yeah. So speaking of that, what are you going to do with this? Now that you've done these 3 years, what do you expect it will happen?
You know, some of my proudest moments in all of this is my husband is a cradle Catholic. And this might be a little prideful on my part. But I can actually have a conversation about the Catholic faith, and I know more than he does. which that's a little prideful.
Sorry, Renee's husband.
Yeah.
Not mine. Hers.
But I've been put in situations. I know I had encountered a young man who knew that I was very passionate about the Catholic faith, and he wanted to try to convert me because he was anti-Catholic. Mm-hmm. And I was able to have jokingly called an apologetic throwdown with him for 3 hours.
Wow.
And I was able to hold my own in that conversation. And I would have never been able to do that 3 years ago.
That's huge. Yeah. So, yeah, that's daunting for anybody.
Yeah. So it was fun though, cool. Because I been trained by Dr. B, who loves to debate and argue.
What?
And he'll ask what? You. Yeah. And part of the training is that you get to, he'll force you into a situation where you have to defend what he's teaching, and he'll play devil's advocate. And he delights in playing the devil's advocate.
I can't imagine.
And so there's some real practical experience debating with Dr. B on some of this, which really has given me the words and the, to express the truth.
Yeah. Very cool. Thanks for telling us about your experience with Equip, Renee.
You're very welcome.
I appreciate that. So, Dr. B, how can someone take part in this next 3 years?
So there's an application process, and there's not a high bar to get into Equip, but there is a bar. And the reason the bar is there is, we already sort of touched on it, want to make sure that people are ready to make the kind, not a huge commitment, but as Renee said, there is a commitment to this, and through just a conversation and an application, just making sure that people are ready for what Equip offers. It's not, and that might sound, oh boy, application. No, it takes a little bit of time, but it's not like you're signing your life away when you do this process. So if you go to sfcatholic.org/equip, there's a description of the program. The application's online. You can look at it. You can fill it out. You can submit it. You're not committing. I've had some people actually who have wondered, so with the time commitment, they've wondered, you know, I don't know if I have time to do this. I said, just try it. I mean, with this cohort, we've tweaked things a little bit so people could start out, and if it's not working a few months in, there's no problem with stepping away.
Right.
If right now is not the time in life for them to do it.
Yeah, that's good to know. All right. Thanks, Dr. B.
You bet.
Another awesome show.
Thanks, Renee.
I'm going to try not to have you on for a little while.
Okay.
Well, except for Biblical Bites, of course.
Except for every week.
Right. Except for every week. All right. Next week on the show, we will have Bishop Donald DeGrood in the studio. He will come in and talk about lifting the dispensation and his recent trip to the northern regions of the diocese. So it should be a great conversation. You won't want to miss it. That's it for us today. Hope you'll join us again next week for more Catholic Views.